Okay, starting a new job, a little person arriving in your world, sending your child off to nursery or school or university, having an empty nest, moving home, turning 50, a period of ill health, getting married, the list goes on. Okay, transition is a process or a period of changing from one thing to another, and talks about the adjustment that happens as we go through that. Transitions can be exciting, but they can also be challenging. They can be an opportunity for us to grow spiritually, but can also be an opportunity for us to really struggle spiritually. We've been maybe a year of the past 18 months in a bit, that actually for us as the Good Shepherd Mission, there's lots of people going through transition. And so you yourself this morning might sit there and think, yeah, that's me. Or you might sit there and think, yeah, I can see a transition on the horizon for my life. Or maybe you're sitting there and thinking, I'm nowhere in or near a transition. And that's okay, because someone else in this room is, and we're a body together. And so we're going to spend the next 3 weeks looking at, what does God's wisdom say about transition? What does God say, his insight, his pearls of wisdom for us in our periods of transition? And to make life easy, this is what we're going to do. 3 weeks. 1 week, we're going to look at Proverbs 3. The next week, Ecclesiastes 3. The next week, Lamentations 3. How good is that? So when you're in the middle of your transition, you go, chapter 3, which book was it? So today we're going to be focusing on Proverbs chapter 3. I don't know if you know anything about the book of Proverbs, but it is a book full of wisdom, full of wise sayings, mostly coming from King Solomon, but actually other people chipped in as well. And just so you know, wisdom, the Hebrew word for that, this is quite key, even though it's Hebrew and we don't speak Hebrew, but the word for wisdom is chokmah. Now, I'm sure that's how a good Hebrew speaker would pronounce it. Why are you laughing? And he's saying that actually wisdom is more than just head knowledge. And it's more than just understanding. It's actually a practical word. It's a language of craftsmanship and skillfully making something beautiful. So as we're talking about God's wisdom, we're not just talking about head knowledge. We're not just talking about understanding. But we're talking about how can we practically and skillfully and artistically apply this to our lives when we're in the middle of transition. Wisdom found in Proverbs is God's instruction to us, showing us how we should practically live in relationship to him, ourselves, and to other people. Okay, so what does God's wisdom say from Proverbs 3, and how can we apply it to our lives of transitions? Pam's going to come and read the first 18 verses of Proverbs chapter 3.
That's page 606. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed.
Thanks, Pam. Keep that open in front of you. Let me ask you this question. Do you easily forget things? Put your hands up if you would say you're a forgetful person. Yeah, a few people. Maybe some of you have forgotten that you're forgetful. Okay, I would say that I'm quite... what's the opposite of forgetful? Mindful. I don't know. I don't really forget stuff easily. I'd say I've got a good memory. That's probably what I was getting at. And so I would say that if you tell me something, I would normally remember it. That really got challenged when I went to the doctor's first with my son, Nate, not long after he was born. And at reception, they asked me what my son's date of birth was. Now, I tell you, I was there at the birth, but could I remember his date of birth? Not in the slightest. And do you know what? It's an ongoing thorn in my flesh. I have to like sit there with my fingers, get my diary out. I think I might have mastered it now. I was there in the moment and I needed to go to know it, but I quickly forgot it. We forget because we've got bad memories, don't we? We forget because maybe the information we're learning isn't a priority for our lives. Clearly, I didn't think my son's date of birth was. Maybe we never really learnt something in the first place, and that's why we forgot it. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of Proverbs says, "My son, my daughter, don't forget my teaching." Remember my teaching. Why? Because Psalms tells us that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. Now, maybe you're sat there and you're thinking, aha, I so would have remembered my child's date of birth because I've got a good memory. Well, the memory and the encouragement here in verse 1 is more than head knowledge. It goes on, doesn't it, in verse 1. It says, "Keep my commands," where? "In your heart. Store them and treasure them. Tattoo them if you have to, but keep them there." Why? Because the heart is the center of all of our lives. It says elsewhere in the Bible that everything we do flows from the heart. Our words and our actions. So it makes sense that God's wisdom is, remember my teaching and keep my commands in your heart because it's going to affect your life. Look at verse 2. Proverbs says it will bring peace and prosperity. That's what the Bible calls shalom. Fulfillment and fullness and flourishing. Nice bit of alliteration there for you wordy people. When approaching or in the midst of transition, what is the teaching that we should remember and have stored up in our heart? Maybe it's this, Deuteronomy 31. God will never leave you or forsake you despite how you feel. Or maybe it's this, as followers of Jesus, we keep his commands that say this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and everything else will be added to you." It's God's kingdom that we seek first. That's where our focus should be in the middle of transition. It's on God and not on ourselves. And notice, it doesn't say, like lean on eating, lean on food, lean on drink, lean on spending your money on stuff that you don't need to. Seek those things first. Look, it actually says in verse 9, honor God with your wealth. And I think that's a temptation. We're in the midst of transition, that those are the things that we seek to do first to make life a little bit more comfortable for ourselves. And instead, we seek God's kingdom. And what else? What other teaching should we hold in our heart and hold on to and cherish and remember? How about John 14, when Jesus is saying to his disciples, guess what? I do not give how the world gives. And so what does the world say about transition? What are the pearls of wisdom that we hear? These are some of them. For people going through transition, you might hear this. Your life is over when you have a kid. Your first year of marriage is going to be miserable. Go to uni, party hard, and find yourself. Life is downhill after 50. Grit your teeth and hope for the best. But what are the commands and the teaching of Jesus that completely contradict that? Jesus says, "I'm your rock and I'm your anchor. If you build your life on me, you will not be shaken. I will give you the peace that passes all understanding because I love you and you are my child. That's a little bit countercultural, isn't it? And so how do we keep those commandments? I don't know what you do to remember scripture and to remember truth and to hide it in your heart. I'll maybe encourage you, actually, like at the end when we're having tea and coffee and we're asking like the mandatory things, how was your week, how's it going? Maybe ask someone, look, how do you remember God's teaching? How do you keep his commands in your heart? Because you're going to find a variety of different ways that people do it. So let's encourage one another afterwards. So what else does Proverbs say? What else does God's wisdom say? Verse 5, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. A few years ago, I went to this place. It's a bit hard to see. It's a place in Wales. It's a disused quarry, I think. It's basically like this massive hole in the ground that is dark. And you can pay money to go and climb up the side of it inside and then zip wire down from one ledge to another into the dark. So I spent probably an hour of my life jumping off ledges that were meters and meters high that you couldn't actually see the floor. And you couldn't actually always see where you were going when you was on this zip wire. And in the process of all that, you were entrusting your life to one carabiner that went onto this zip wire to keep you going. There were whoops of joy echoing around the quarry. There were screams of fear. I won't say which mine were. There were some people that walked back because they were like, do you know what? I can't face doing that. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs says, when you can't see where you're heading. Trust in the Lord when you don't understand how it all works. Trust me, I didn't understand how that carabiner kept me safe. Trust in the Lord, not just a little bit, but trust. Jump off the ledge with everything that you've got and entrust yourself to the one who won't let you fall. That's what Proverbs says. That's what God's wisdom says. It says trust in the Lord, not trust in your friends, not trust in your spouse, not trust in your bank balance or your status. Trust in God. See, the world, man, is so good at offering promises that you can't deliver on, isn't it? Bank balances change and people let us down and reputations can so easily get tarnished. But actually, we are called to trust in the one who's so much better than that. And why does God's wisdom say trust? It's actually because of the one who we trust in. The one who is unchanging. Scripture tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's dependable. He's the one whose love is fierce and is strong for us. Why does God's wisdom say trust in him? Because look, in the life of Jesus, there's a guy who knew what transition was. He knew what change was. He left the joys of heaven to come to our messed up earth. He transitioned from your average life to a life of ministry. He transitioned from life to death on the cross. He transitioned from death to resurrection, from resurrection to ascension, being seated at the right hand of the Father. That is a guy who negotiated change. And guess what? In the midst of that transition, when he was faced with temptation, when he was overwhelmed with emotion that we read about in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was in physical pain on the cross, he trusted his Father. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, someone who's been there, done it and worn a t-shirt and says, trust me, you know what? I'm likely to trust that person. And for us, it's such a massive pushback against what we see in our world. So verse 5, don't lean on your own understanding. That is a massive pushback against self-reliance, which I think maybe one or two of us in the room will be able to identify with. How often do we do it alone? Without God and without the help of others, because we think we've got it sorted. I'm constantly trying to work stuff out in my little brain, trying to make sense of things, working it out on my own. And look, verse 7 says, it warns us not to be wise in our own eyes. Do you think you know better than God? God's wisdom said, guess what? You don't. Tell your brain you can't come up with enough wisdom to outsmart God. Tell yourself, actually, you're inadequate when it comes to planning the course of your life. But instead, verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. The Hebrew word for acknowledge is know him. Know him. So at every twist, at every turn, at every choice you make, every new season that you find yourself in, the ways that you're navigating, say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. And not just know you. Verse 7 says, fear God. We acknowledge, we know God, and we fear him through prayer and praise and reading God's word and silence and listening. And what is the result? Verse 6, he will make your path straight. That's what God's in the business of doing. You know, he's not setting out to make things difficult for us. I think sometimes we think that he is, but he will make your path straight. So acknowledge God, know God in the midst of your transition with the new time that you may have on your hands because of the transition you find yourself in. With the spare room that you might have in your house, the resources that the transition that you're going through is freed up. Know him. Seek him, lean on him and not your own understanding. Say, God, what are you saying? What is the path through this? What do you want me to do with this? Now, that doesn't mean that we sit idly on our thumbs and just wait for the world to drift itself by. You know, it says in Proverbs elsewhere in chapter 16 that a man's heart plans its course, but what? The Lord orders his steps. God's wisdom is in all life. Trust in a good, holy, kind, loving, all-providing, all-satisfying God. Rely on him, know him, and let him lead. That is God's wisdom for transition. That's God's wisdom for the change that you may find yourself in, even this month. And so I guess the question for us, when we're faced with change and uncertainty and transition, is actually, do we trust God like Proverbs calls us to do with all of our hearts? Or actually, do we doubt God with all of our hearts? A couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about this series that we were going to be doing and kind of looking at Proverbs, and I felt kind of God give me something to share with you as a church. And as I share it, like, I want you to weigh it and see if that's something for you, if it's a word in season for you, or maybe it's not for you and actually that's okay. But I think for some of us who are here, the reason why we don't trust in God and the reason why we doubt is actually because we're disappointed with God. And we're disappointed in him, sometimes in our mind, for seemingly good reason. So maybe we have really longed for something and we've not received it. Maybe our kids don't believe in spite of our conscientious efforts before the Lord. Maybe we have sought God's kingdom and we think, man, you know what, I'm left wanting. Maybe we have faithfully prayed and labored and sown into the lost. And we look and we think, man, what fruit have I seen for my labor? And actually, I am disappointed. And so when you hear me speak about Proverbs chapter 3 and God's wisdom to trust, you think, trust? Jen, trust? Actually, I feel angry and I feel hurt and I feel disappointed and I feel cynical and my heart has actually grown cold to the things of God. There's an invitation for you this morning to come back to God and to repent and to turn away from that. There's an invitation to be healed from that hurt. There's an invitation to be set free from that stuff that is holding us back. If that's for you this morning, like, don't walk away this morning without doing something about that. And so maybe for us, we look at Proverbs and we think, cool, they're nice sayings, but actually they're not much more than that. Look at the latter part of what we read in chapter 3. Verse 13, blessed are those who find this kind of wisdom. Verse 14, they're worth more than silver or gold. They are precious. Verse 15, more precious than rubies. God's wisdom brings a long and a fruitful life, a life full of peace in verses 16 and 17. And what, verse 18, it's a tree of life for those who take hold of it. A tree of life, symbolic of the happy relationship, the blessed relationship, the intimate relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden with God. And so God's wisdom for us as we're in the midst of transition and change, as we're approaching it, as we can see it on the horizon, is to remember. Don't forget, remember the teachings and the commands of Christ. And to trust in him with all of our hearts. Now, I feel like I can preach on this a little bit with conviction, because it feels like actually the last 18 months of my life have been a bit of transition. I came back from maternity leave to work, so kind of juggled from and transitioned from being at home full time to being at home and being at work. And then not long after I came back, my role here changed really significantly. And actually, that time of transition, I would say there's been moments of fun. But on the whole, I would say it's actually been quite stressful and confusing and really disorientating. And actually, the things that I would say that have kept me going in the midst of it are holding on to the truth of who God is and what he's got in store for me, remembering that and trying to trust, even when I feel like a little boat that's been tossed around by the storm. To trust in him with all my heart, to not work it out by myself. And even this week, my son started nursery. And so again, like a massive transition, I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. Sat in the library thinking, oh, I'm entrusting my son to people that I've never met before. You know, Jen didn't talk to herself truth. God's like, Jen, you know what? Trust me. Trust me with your little boy. Do you not think that I love him more than you do? The call to trust in the midst of it. And it's thrown up like loads of questions. What questions? Why questions? About my life and about my ministry and about my family. But actually this week, the thing that has steadied me in the midst of that change and that transition is actually my talk. Like yesterday, I felt like I preached this to myself, that Jen, you need to trust God with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. You need to remember the promises of God in the midst of what you're going through. And so for you this morning, like brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're stuck in the middle of a transition, if you're in the midst of one fishbowl to the next, or maybe you've landed in a new fishbowl and you're like, man, these surroundings are really, really disorientating. Are you remembering the teachings of God and the commands that he says store up in your heart? And are you trusting, or actually are you doubting? How are we doing with that? And you know what, church? We need one another. The Bible tells us we are a body. And so if you're not going through a transition and I am, please pray for me. Look out for people who are going through significant change and be praying for them. Encourage them. Tell them how you navigated your transitions. Be thankful that we've got to the end of our own transition by the grace of God. Church, he is trustworthy and he is good. God's wisdom in the midst of your change and your transition. Remember and trust. Let's pray. God, for those of us this morning that find ourselves in the midst of change and are a bit disorientated by that, and we're working through that process, I pray the truth of your word will take root in our hearts and be sealed in. Help us, Holy Spirit, to remember and help us to trust in you. And for those of us who see change on the horizon, God, I pray we wouldn't look at it with fear, but we would look at it with hope, because we trust and we hope in you. And God, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who the whole idea of trusting in you is just so difficult because we feel let down and disappointed. God, I pray now by the power of your Spirit that you would do a work in our lives to bring healing and freedom and restoration, that we could walk in truth, leaning on you, trusting in you, knowing that no one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. God, may we know you in the midst of our change, personally and collectively as a church, because you are the God who never, ever changes. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen.